Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
Hey, Pete.
Yes?
Conciliants number 204.
Oh, my God. Has it been that long?
200.
Only seems like 128.
This one is called What Will Trump Mean for Science and Humanities?
And I can sum that up, sum my opinion on that in one comment.
Now, we're doing these final eight episodes and saying that, or I guess maybe, it's, is it nine? No, it's eight. Final eight episodes, and we're saying that we're kind of trying to hit final thoughts on the concerns of this podcast, things that we have talked about, things that we've basically gone on and on about. Can we be succinct? This is the one that doesn't really fit that, because we haven't been talking about Trump, President Trump, and the science and humanities this whole time.
But I'm ready to go, because I just filled out a survey from the American Civil Liberties Union that they sent me the other day.
We've definitely talked about how politics are shaped by and shape science and humanities, right?
Agreed.
Especially the public funding idea.
Uh-huh.
So that's really what we're doing here. We're on our way to 208, everybody. And that's the that's when we're going to close the door.
That's when we will finally be institutionalized.
Set fire to the building.
We're just checking ourselves into rehab, and that's all she wrote.
So, what will President Trump mean for, let's start with you, science, Pete?
Who knows? Who really knows? The guy is so unpredictable, one can only speculate, and, which I will do.
Yeah. So maybe let's start with the question, why are we even talking about what will this president mean for science and humanities? Why are we saying that about him in particular?
Because he is so business focused, and there's nothing wrong with being concerned about commerce and beefing up the economy. I think all of us, including scientists and humanities folks, like that. It's a good thing when the economy does well. And there are lots of patrons to fund art projects and lots of tax money to fund important science and engineering research. I think that and the fact that he's just a complete egomaniac, too. And I'm going to say that. I don't think I would say that about any other president. I like to think of myself as a Renaissance person. Right. So if someone says, well, we should just be training people and teaching them about science and engineering and business, there should be no humanities. There should be no art. There should be no music in the public schools. I get really ticked off when they say that. I think that is important. And I my favorite humanities folks are the artists who are fascinated by the science and technology of paints and music technology and things like that. And here at Georgia Tech, we have some great folks in the music technology program who do just that. They make science and engineering with music and art, and it's the result is absolutely wonderful. We're all afraid. We're all very, very afraid. And in fact, as we speak, I can think of at least a half dozen colleagues here at Georgia Tech I've had this conversation with, of trying to take your research area and say, how can I get this funded by the Department of Defense?
Right.
And, you know, we're trying to survive. I mean, funding is a hard thing to get, so.
Okay, that's a good way into it. Another answer to my question. Because we say, what will President Trump mean? Partly because he has publicly said that he doesn't read, right? Doesn't read books.
Yeah, and he said he doesn't really read much.
Yeah. He's publicly said that climate change is bullshit. He said that it was a hoax by the Chinese.
Yeah.
He said that it was a question.
But according to Kellyanne Conway, we're not supposed to listen to what he says. We're supposed to understand what's in his heart. Is that really what's in his heart? I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's that too. And then you bring up a very important third factor, which is that he seems to have a cloud of thoughts and values and priorities at all time that just sort of swirl around and change. By sort of declaring that regulations are bad, right? And then saying that certain departments should be dissolved.
Yeah, and it's actually a number of congressmen that are trying to get rid of the EPA right now.
Yeah, yeah. But Trump is, President Trump is seemingly totally down for that. All of those things taken together, it feels like a deeply anti-intellectual administration that is headed our way or is here. I guess I feel like it's not really gotten here yet. you know.
No, it hasn't.
This is all prologue at this point.
And I was talking with a friend of mine who gets a lot of funding from NASA. And most of my funding now is from the National Science Foundation. And I just figured the National Science Foundation, even the National Institutes of Health, which has a much bigger budget than the NSF, these are tiny budgets compared to most of our federal spending. It's tiny compared to the Department of Energy, the Department of Defense, things like that.
Speaking of climate change, can you hear the weather in your headphones?
I can hear the
So just in case you're listening
on the rooftop
to the pitter-patter of raindrops. It's a very heavy storm that we can hear in the studio right now. So you're not crazy, listener. You can hear rain in the background.
And what I disagree with, anyone who's an extremist who says all regulation is bad or that we need lots more regulation, they're usually wrong, right? Usually the correct answer is some tempered balance in the middle. And that's what I believe about regulation, whether it's environmental or otherwise. And
I'll go you one further. I think that getting caught up in regulation is the problem. When you say, oh, these regulations are bad, regulations are choking. It's what is the purpose? What are we trying to accomplish? What are regulations in service of?
In service of people and the planet.
Very few people, I think, can say, no, I think it's okay if folks die. Like that's...
Well, people are going to die anyway.
People are going to die anyway. But if folks are killed by consumer products... You know, people don't think that that's a good thing.
They'd right. Like so regulations that prevent death of consumers is good. But there's a limit. You can't regulate everything. You know, there's inherent risk in just walking the face of the earth.
Sure, sure.
And we should strive for that balance.
I'm not suggesting that we would be immortal if it weren't for this administration.
Right.
Although, now that I say it out loud, it sort of seems right.
I think immortal would just be boring.
We would be like after gods.
Sometime in my 80s, I'm going to be like, I'm ready to go. I'm just sick of this crap. It's time for me to exit. And maybe I won't feel that way when I'm 80. But so let's acknowledge the 800-pound gorilla in the room. The thing he's going after the most is the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah. And the logic behind that is that the energy industry is one of America's prime economic movers.
Mm-hmm.
And regulations, energy environmental regulations, somehow hobble the energy industry in such a way that that's why we don't have jobs.
But my colleague from the School of Chemistry and Biochemistry, who is funded by NASA, said he wants to turn us into China. I have not visited Beijing yet, but every one of my colleagues has told me on some days you can't see 10 feet in front of your face.
Very hazy place sometimes.
There was a time when we were not quite that bad, but I lived in California, 30 years ago when you would go to the beach and you would breathe in after a long day at the beach and you would have this pain in your pulmonary system, your lungs. I called it smog lung.
What year was that?
This was probably back in the early 70s.
And that was when the Clean Water and Clean Air Acts and the EPA were established, right?
Yeah, and it takes years or decades, right? Lake Erie was literally a toilet for decades, and then you need a decade or two after the regulations go. Right. And now it's got a thriving shore area. People boat on Lake Erie. It's much much better. In Ohio, we used to set the Cuyahoga River on fire. Things like this. Europe had similar problems, but Europe was forced to have treaties such that Germany and France and all these people on the Rhine and the Danube didn't just throw their pollution in there and let it go to the next country. So they were forced to do that. And actually what many conservatives are proposing is to let states deal with it. Very bad. Because one state can just put all their effluent into the Mississippi River or the Ohio River or the Missouri River just as it's going to another state.
Okay, now we're getting a little bit out of hand here because this is not about how will President Trump affect the environment. Okay. What is regulation?
Right.
But it is about what's the purpose of the funding of science studies, the funding of humanities studies. What is the purpose of these departments that are but essentially the research departments for America?
But the EPA made a bunch of rules and regulation. That there is no better department than the EPA, in my opinion, because I kind of remember what it was like when things were more polluted several decades ago.
Science
is what determines, informs those policies.
The rock bottom of all of this is that some people think that the invisible hand, the capitalist invisible hand, will fix pollution, or will make it so that we have exactly as much pollution as we can stand because that's how the free market works. People will pay more to have what they want, right? Now, that's what some people believe, and I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
I believe that there are certain public goods and externalities that have to be dealt with by nonprofit or the public sector.
Yeah, to keep for-profit capitalism in check.
Basically, there have to be groups that their primary motivator is not profit. Their primary motivator is some...
To protect the public and the public good.
Something like to maintain some certain percentages of all of the metals in the water. Like, just keep it below that.
Right.
Like, how much arsenic can you have in your water? Right? How much lead can you have in your water?
I hope it's well below the PPM level.
Exactly. So there's got to be a way. And then you would want to have a group that's their point. And someone would say, well, what about private industry? You know, why doesn't it police itself? And to that I say,
there's no motivation. Yeah. Their motivation is all profit. That's their motivation. If you say anything to the contrary, you're wrong. Nothing wrong with that.
The other thing is that what you could do is you could add costs to private industry that made up for that lack of need. Like if you said, hey, you're going to pay this amount of money for this amount of particulate that you disperse, right? And actually create a cost that would allow that quote unquote free market
to correct itself. Like scenario.
Yeah, whatever it might be. Like if you made it so someone had to, so a company had to deal with the particular cost of whatever it was doing, dumping coal into streams, say.
Right.
Right. That cost would be part of its cost benefit analysis. And then to maximize profit, it would minimize cost.
But we're already doing that.
Except, remember, there are places where, not places, there are moments in various legal battles where people do the math and they say, oh, you know what? We can kill 100 people a year, pay out $1 million each, and it'll cost less than doing this recall.
Right.
Also unacceptable, right?
I mean, on its face, yes, but, you know, nothing is perfect. There's going to be accidents. I mean, there's going to be a certain failure rate. I'm thinking like an engineer now.
So if
but there is an accepted risk.
If business is the philosophy that's being applied to the public sector,
right?
What happens?
It's a total free-for-all. We're like the Wild West, where people had medicine shows where they were taking random crap and selling it as a cure-all for everything. There are laws against making false claims in your advertising.
Yeah. And that sounds like a regulation.
It is. They have very specific regulations with the FDA that will not allow you to do things. And then there are disclosure laws. This is the boring thing where the guy, symptoms may include headaches and anal seepage. That's the transparency that says, you know, here's
what
can happen.
And to have that structure in place, you have to have, one, government rules, right, that can be enforced. You have to have, two, somebody who is actually disinterested way or a nonpartisan
objective
way?
Objective, dispassionate.
A dispassionate way, thank you, even better. A dispassionate way. Measuring whatever it is that these regulations are applied to,
right?
And then you have to have whatever the private industry is that's being regulated, right?
Yeah.
And if you say, well, look, government can't do it. You know, we got to take away those regulations. You also dismantle those departments that were doing the measuring, right? Because that was their purpose. But then...
And some of them fund academic or other nonprofit institutions to do that.
Or collect data that is publicly available, like weather data. Right. I mean, I think a lot of those weather apps, they just kind of grab the free government.
Yeah, the government provides a lot of free data. And what a lot of people don't realize about NASA
is... I had no idea how angry I would get. I thought that I would be able to kind of keep it cool, that I would just think to myself, you know, there's no reason to be a ranting straw man. You know, everything it does is bad. Government's good, you know. But I get very close.
Government screws up a lot of times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I get very close to that. But you know what? Government screws up as much as private industry.
Yeah,
and private industry screws up as much as government.
We do it in slightly different ways, but
And the priority, the value of government, right, or the value of the public sector, I think is better than the value of the private sector when you talk about protecting people. Protecting consumers.
Because they admit their motivation is protecting the public, whereas the motivation of companies, for-profit companies, are admittedly profit.
Well, to
that is their motivation.
Increase shareholder value.
But that's what I'm saying. It's profit.
Yeah.
It's, So I don't know. I mean, what bothers me is these gag orders out of various governmental agencies. It's not the first time it's happened. It has happened before. It's probably happened on a larger scale. I believe
that reads like the petulance of, you know, the actual personal petulance of President Trump. What's that? Yeah.
It's like, don't tell anyone. It's like you're keeping a secret as a third grader.
Well, even more, it's like, look, I don't think that's real. So, you know, don't tell anybody about that. Stop talking about it.
But see, I prefer to get it all out there. And if you don't believe it, fund a study to examine it, you know, additionally.
How
and then
gonna,
see
how
if
you can fund that study, Pete.
You could fund that through the government.
Except you won't. Because they're going to shut it down.
Oh, but that's what they should do. The point is, the one thing we can all agree on with regard to climate change is we should do more research and analysis.
What happens if people start creating nonprofit organizations to make up for the things that are shut down?
Well, we already have nonprofit organizations that do research.
But in particular, like, you know, is there a nonprofit EPA that's separate from the government organization?
None of them have the resources of the EPA and the government to fund research associated with
the
that.
The scale, right, yeah. That the United States of America's federal government is allowed mm-hmm. to apply,
right.
You know, its resources to, its not administrative. What am I trying to say?
It's big.
I'm having
it's
trouble.
It's huge. Huge, I say. Talking, it's huge. Right?
What's huge?
The scale in which the government can fund things. And I'm going to cut that off.
That,
and I'm going to give that back
what
to
we're
you,
calling it now?
The consumer. It'll be huge. Sorry, I lapse into that once in a while.
I have a poor opinion of some people who label themselves with a certain political label.
Okay.
Often those people will say things like, look, if we didn't have to pay taxes, just imagine how much we'd be able to do with that extra money.
You could do nothing with that money because you couldn't leave your house because you wouldn't have a road.
That's always what I think. It's like, well,
I love roads.
That extra money would be mostly involved in paying for the publicly available transportation.
And you'd have to have, like, a big fire extinguisher at your house. You'd have to have, you know, one of those ones on wheels. You'd have to own a gun because you'd have no police protection. You would have to own a large four-wheel drive vehicle and a machete to get to the... You'd have to drill your own well. Do you know how much it costs to drill a well? People that don't have...
Probably a lot.
...municipal water or utilities, you'd have to have a truck come out and fill a big tank with propane or butane.
Okay, so you and I are on the same page there. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who are disgusted with us right now hearing that because this is typical liberal bedwetting, panty waist. I don't even know.
I agree with them. Too much regulation is a bad thing.
Yeah, too much regulation. What? What?
But what kills me is the thing they're picking on is the wrong thing. So let's pick the regulation they should be trying to repeal. I'm going to give you a specific example. Okay. Nuclear power.
Uh-huh.
So nuclear power, when done incorrectly, can be a very dangerous thing.
Right,
so should have regulation on it. But believe it or not, this was an order signed by Jimmy Carter that restricted storage and movement of nuclear waste. So the reason we had such a problem in Fukushima, and we have a problem here as well, is we don't move our waste enough. It stocks, you know,
because it's
got to
stay out of people's backyards, right?
Yeah, and what we should do is we should spend some money reprocessing that waste.
All right, you just hit a thing that's really important, I think, broadly. Because science and humanities do not have to be separated out in this particular topic.
Okay.
Right? They are areas of research concern, mm-hmm. right? And they are funded by the government in a lot of ways, right?
Okay.
And the way that their research results are distributed mm-hmm. is also funded by the government in a lot of ways.
And that should be as transparent as possible.
Absolutely. With the ascendancy of President Trump and his general attitude toward things, mm-hmm. right? He is the kind of person who's like, well, that's stupid and we're going to not do that. It's only common sense, you know, whatever, right? His sort of, we got to look at the bottom line here, folks. We got to be business oriented. We got to be strong. We got to be straight with people. We got to, you know, I'm a straight shooter, all that kind of stuff. Means that the general anti-intellectual attitude, right, or the faux common sense assault mm-hmm. on the infrastructure of research and the dissemination of scientific research is given now the weight of the president.
Yeah.
Right? So that someone who says, I hear that they put shrimp on treadmills. What is that? What is that for? Mm-hmm. Take the money away, right? Are we spending millions of dollars to monitor volcanoes? I think we can tell when a volcano is erupting. That's that faux mm-hmm. common sense I'm talking yeah. about, right? That now has the weight of the president behind it.
And but I never put much stock in the voice of any president, even presidents I liked and voted for.
You might not have. You might not have, right? Yeah. But now people who see, we talk a lot about get politically engaged, you know, make sure you go out and vote, all that. And when you make it very easy for people who are against the president to express their mm-hmm. Opinions or their resistance, you're also giving people who are for the president the same sort of resources. Mm-hmm. Anybody who thinks, yeah, it's idiotic that we're paying millions of dollars to monitor volcanoes when it's obvious when they erupt, mm-hmm. right? Those people can now also pick up a phone and talk to their right. congressperson or give money, right?
Right.
And especially when those people are folks who have a tremendous amount of money and power and would like to make sure that there's no overarching government regulation to reduce their money or power, right? They are very happy when people
say people who in general
there shouldn't
not,
be a government.
Yeah, they're not fans of diversity. And diversity has a meaning on many levels, not just diversity of the kind of people that you interact with and the kind of people doing that particular work, but diversity of thought. So, for example, you know, I'm an engineer. And if someone said we should just, you know, kill all humanities funding and art and does not belong in the schools and things like that, I think that's ridiculous. Now, we can always argue about the balance. We can argue about that particular thing on volcanoes or shrimp yeah. and how they walk and things like that. And that's not something we should be dealing with. We should entrust that to reasonable people to make decisions at that granularity. But if someone were to say science in general isn't important – or environmental science, we should cut all environmental science research is crazy. And this is where NASA gets into trouble, because what most people don't realize about NASA is much of what they do, particularly now, because we're not going to the moon.
They
we're not
handle
going
satellites.
The, they handle satellites that tell us more about our planet than we ever thought we could know. Mm-hmm. We've got these observatories that look at spectral data, and it's absolutely amazing. And it does deal with climate change, but it deals with all sorts of other things. No better insight into how our planet works comes from any place other than NASA. It's great stuff. And yes, we should be funding that. Because don't we think Earth is an important planet?
I mean, we're just going to leave it a burnt crust.
I hope not.
As we
and this helps
Mars.
Us determine to what degree we're turning it into a burnt crust.
I'm sure
or
that
not.
Elon Musk and Peter Thiel are trying to figure out how to take water to Mars and terraform it, you know, while they drink the blood of millennials to make sure that they stay alive long enough for the terraforming.
What do you think on Elon Musk and Peter Thiel?
Have you
just because Thiel thinks we should live in floating cities?
I believe it's Thiel, but it could be Thiel. Yeah. Have you not read the stuff that they do and what they think is happening?
Well, I've read a lot of his business advice, and it's quite good, Peter Thiel. But I've also read some of his kooky stuff about colonizing planets.
That's my point. Look,
but I see nothing wrong with understanding how to terraform planets.
But what these people have is mm-hmm. a concentration of wealth and power that is extraordinary,
okay.
right? And then they have idiosyncratic personal beliefs, right, about how science should happen,
okay.
how resources
I know
should
Thiel
be handled.
Does. I didn't know. Was Elon Musk in that same category?
Elon Musk has said publicly that he thinks it's very likely that we're in a simulation, a Matrix-style simulation, and that there's no way to tell that we're not.
I'll be thinking about that on the ride home today.
Why?
Because it's an interesting idea.
It doesn't matter.
But it actually doesn't matter if we're in a simulation or not.
Yeah.
Because if you die in the Matrix, you die. There it is. Write that down.
And I mean, it's the
there
same.
Are some philosophers and theologians that believe that too, though.
Are there?
It's all a test. God's messing with us.
Anything that involves constructing a narrative where the end result of what happens here is not important, it's what happens elsewhere, mm-hmm. it messes with us. It's bad news. Yeah. When we talk about what is wrong with religion, excuse mm-hmm. me, I know I'm getting so angry. I can
they keep saying
talk.
What happens here doesn't count.
Yeah, it's like this is not my home, I'm just passing through.
Yeah.
And the bunch of people who are saying, whoa, this is home. This is where we're at. This is the only place we got. And these kids here are going to be here when you're gone.
And they it'd be nice for them to be able to breathe.
And they won't be joining you in Happy Fun Land, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's cotton candy and Gumdrop Mountain.
There's cotton candy there?
There's no cotton candy there.
Damn it. That would be good.
There is never cotton candy, Peter. Never.
Well, there's cotton candy on this planet.
There is no cotton candy.
There is.
It's only a simulation.
It's a simulation. It's damn good simulated cotton candy. We're scared to death. Who's scared?
What?
Scientists and engineers. People who do research are scared to death.
Would you say everyone is scared to death?
No, not people who voted for the guy.
Oh, I think a few people who voted for him are scared.
I think some of them are realizing, oh my God, this is like 1930s Italy or something. I mean, it's...
Here's the thing, right? It's like the things that Trump said on... President Trump, excuse mm-hmm. me. I keep forgetting to... say it right. I was always pissed off when people didn't say it right. When my guy was in the office, so I should say it right now. When President Trump indulges his sort of personal go with the gut mm-hmm. kind of decision-making process mm-hmm. and affects massive organizations,
right?
I think that everyone should get a little nervous.
Yeah.
Even the people who think that we're supposed to, like, you know, smash the system and drop the establishment, I think it's like those folks who are realizing that the Affordable Care Act is what was being called Obamacare and mm-hmm. that everyone was saying had to be dismantled.
Right. But even now, Republicans are realizing there were components of it that were actually quite good. And they're not sure what to do right now because of that. And the same is true of the Clean Air and Clean Water Act under the EPA.
Yeah. I actually sent a strongly worded email to both my senators saying that I would like an explanation as to why they voted against the protection of the Stream Protection Act.
Oh, this is the one where you can now
Stream Protection Rule.
Dump coal mining refuse into streams.
Well, it was there was a set of rules and standard mm-hmm. procedures that was put forth by the Department of the Interior, right?
That's the land, right? Yeah.
And they were saying, look, this is what we need to do to make sure that coal debris does not pollute streams, mm-hmm. right? And it was voted against. And I'd like to know why. I'd like to hear the explanation, direct, not an explanation that's, you know, oh, well, energy is really important and we can't have regulations. I'm like, why did
energy
you vote against this Protection Act? And I don't trust that I'm going to get anything that's going to make me feel good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of the reasons that I don't trust that is because there's a certain secular faith-based corporatist attitude in the White House now.
Where capitalism is their religion. I don't think there's anything secular about it. I think there's... how do you pronounce Ayn Rand's first name? A. Rand? Okay.
Ms.
There's
Ms.
a statue Rand. Of her in the corner somewhere with a lot of incense burning around it. Someone's going, om. Something like that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you have any thoughts to add, or should we end on the Ayn Rand joke?
No, what do you worry about humanities? Is any funding for the humanities going to get wiped out?
Yeah, well, they want to zero out the NEH and the NEA. You know, mm-hmm. endowments for the humanities, endowments for the arts.
It's such a tiny amount compared to the...
Yeah,
you get rid of three bases worldwide,
except
and you could double their funding.
It's not about money.
And NSF.
It's not about money, right? It's the argument that taxpayers should not be funding things that they don't agree with. Taxpayers should not be funding things that are in some way biased. Taxpayers should not be funding things that can be better done through private industry. So just like if you say... you know, God, I can't even think of like a private company can do the garbage collection better than the county. Okay, probably not true. But then you say also a private company can handle radio mm-hmm. and the distribution of information better than the public option.
Yeah.
It's like that's not true. All you have to do is listen to the morning zoo on any Cumulus Media. Mm-hmm. Station, and then listen to WREK. WREK Atlanta. Quality, diverse radio. It's not even an NPR station, right? We are so free of profit motive, right? things are crazy here. Sometimes you can tune in and you hear bricks hitting each other.
Because
right?
there's no profit, we are, how shall I say this, an eclectic mix of
eclectic,
content.
Yes. And we're able to get voices out that are disempowered. We're able to add to the diversity of thought and idea. Yeah. And it's one of the bits that we hear on the HD signals identifier.
Mm-hmm.
How monotonous would the forest be if we only heard the songs of the top 10 birds? WREK Atlanta. We give all the birds a chance.
I like that. Who wrote that? That was good.
I mean, it's years ago that it was put together. Yeah. Now, if you take away the idea of we're talking about the top 10 songs, and we're you know, if you think about what are the top 10 voices, what are the top 10 ideologies, what are the top 10 corporate entities?
Right.
Those should not be the only voices we hear. The voices of all should be heard.
Agreed.
And that's what like a public media option is about.
But I do agree that we shouldn't fund things systematically that are biased. What I think we should do, and this is where people have the objection, is whether it's science, you know, we shouldn't put all of our gross national product into environmental science.
I should have sworn you were going to say eggs into a basket. But.
Some of that. But we should also do economic research on the effect of certain policies on the economy. That's a totally legitimate role for the government to do. And likewise in humanities, we're going to fund Mapplethorpe or somebody like this that does things that are offensive to you. But if you don't like that, say, well, look, I want some good old-fashioned realist painting. Why aren't you funding them? And they should be funding them too, right?
And the existence of a Mapplethorpe. And hey, if you're listening and don't know who Mapplethorpe is, make sure you Google Robert Mapplethorpe with safe search off and not at work.
Yeah.
You know, art like that that challenges and offends, right? Adds to the national conversation. One of the great things is that if you're totally offended by one of Mapplethorpe's works, you can articulate your offense.
Yeah.
You can say, this is why this is no good.
Don't visit the gallery, don't buy
his position.
Yeah, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good discourse. And that's true in science and the humanities. But this doesn't mean we can't fund... I mean, if President Trump does not believe in climate change and the contribution that humans are making to it, he should fund more climate research, period.
Pete, we got to stop here. I got to go throw a Molotov cocktail somewhere.
Good luck with that.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
What happened to the unity of knowledge, dude?
That's at the beginning. This is at the end.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening to Consilience with Pete and Charlie. You can find us on Facebook. You can like our page, share our episode announcements. Follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr, too, Pete and Charlie. We're all over the internet.
And what does the Georgia Institute of Technology and WRIK Atlanta think of the content of Consilience?
Hopefully, they'll never find out.